found this in Ganarum. Ganamir Ni.
What is it?
Well, it's
sick performance.
Welcome to Synthaholics, guys. This is your host, David Duncan, and with me is...
Aaron O'Brien.
We've got special guests tonight, because this is our non-Star Trek night of the month.
It's a spooky night.
It's a spooky Ooh. Night, yes. Lots of hauntings in the middle of December.
there's
Christmas yeah. ghosts of Christmas. Christmas past, Christmas present, yeah. you know.
There you go.
It's like the Nightmare Before Christmas.
Oh, that's Trevor.
Nailed it.
Hey, what's up?
Trevor,
hi.
If you don't remember him, he wasn't sure who Emperor Palpatine was.
Yeah, and now I know.
Now knowing half the battle.
You guys
and we also have Josiah with us.
Thanks for having us.
And these guys are both from the Geekiverse. And off of the corner.
Hello.
No, what's your name?
Yeah.
What's your name?
It's hello. We've established this.
Well, listen, no one else said their own name.
I said my name.
Geekiverse. I may or may not talk.
Well, you heard it here first, guys.
So this episode, we're talking about...
Wait.
Go ahead.
We do have a little bit of news. I don't want to go into it too much because this is our non-Trek episode of the month. But because of the timeliness of the news, we just heard about this yesterday.
Yeah.
That Brian Fuller, not only is he, like, done... Like he's not the showrunner anymore. He is done. He's not touching Star Trek Discovery until no. CBS calls him back, apparently.
Because it's Star Trek STD. He's like, I'm not touching
he's
that.
He's like, I'm not touching that with
no
a...
No way.
Well, didn't they... They're going to start filming in, like, January, right?
Right.
That news did come out today. But yesterday, like... He said a couple months ago he stepped down as executive, you know, as showrunner.
Oh,
so
okay.
We just thought he's still executive producer. So we thought, yeah, he's still going to be hands-on with it and everything.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden it came out yesterday that he is no longer involved. All the work that he's done on the show is all the work he's going to do on the show unless CBS calls him back.
Oh, wow.
And they keep citing that, oh, he's busy with American Gods. He's busy with American Gods. But he all of a sudden became too busy when they gave a huge extension for when this – show is coming out.
Yeah.
Right.
So I'm just like, something smells fishy.
Well, like I said, I have my two theories
yeah.
on him. I think that either he's overcommitted and he just couldn't do it, or he just saw a shitstorm with CBS All Access and said, I'm not going to get involved with it.
Huh.
That's my two feelings.
It's maybe a little of both.
Yeah, maybe both. I don't know. But I mean, it's definitely one of those things that just like, I think... because he's a quality guy. He writes quality shows.
Great stuff. And the couple things he did on Voyager was great. His Deep Space Nine episodes were pretty good for the most part,
yeah,
I think.
But
he does really good stuff. I mean, pushing Hannibal. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That was a great show.
But
yeah.
It's just – I think he's just like – I think I got a bad feeling, and I try to be optimistic, but I think Star Trek Discovery might be a huge shipwreck. So.
Oh, boy.
I hope not.
I hope not, too.
I certainly hope not. But it's just like now that he's not involved with it, I'm scared that maybe, you know, his two scripts that he wrote could get totally reworked to mm-hmm. fit in with the rest of the show that he's no longer has any involvement with.
Right.
That's sad.
So I'm just like, I know he set a lot of people around him are people that he put there, so hopefully they'll go on with his vision, but who knows?
Who knows?
Like,
who knows?
They're not beholden to him anymore, so.
Right, right.
CBS might be like, hey, change this. And CBS loves to do that.
Yeah. Well, we'll find out, unfortunately. But that's where that's at. We were excited. Now we're crestfallen.
Now we're dubious.
So.
Robbie Palmer from Artful Gremlins was also supposed to be with us tonight. But unfortunately...
Things didn't go right.
Family being extremely ill.
Yeah.
We're thinking about you, Robbie. So Yeah. Sorry you couldn't make it. We were wanting to have this big family of three podcasts to get together tonight. So you're here with us in spirit.
That's right. soon enough.
It will happen one day for something else.
That's right.
Someday.
Hopefully in a couple weeks.
But today we are going, like we said, non-Star Trek theme. We're going Star Wars.
Episode 3. Mm-hmm.
Revenge of the Sith.
Revenge of the what?
The who? The Revenge of the Nerds.
Yes! Revenge of the Nerds. That's what it should have been after George Lucas struck out a third time.
So, we're just picking up from where we did Attack of the Clones, and this movie, I think, is better than the last two.
Yeah, it has its moments.
Yeah.
Definitely.
I think George Lucas kind of started hitting his stride again. I don't think it's amazing, but I think it's much better. I don't know how you guys feel about that. If you think, I think you said Attack of the Clones, Josiah, that you felt that was a better movie than this movie.
Yes, and they're close, I think. But I always liked Episode 2 a little bit better.
Okay,
Episode 2 is a Columbia necktie above.
You can say that. So I watched episode 3 with commentary for this.
You watched the one with all the actors, and I watched the commentary with just like the production team, like I did with episode 1 and episode 2. I want to die.
This was a little more interesting because you had so many voices in there.
I actually started to watch it because you said you were watching it.
Yeah.
And I got 20 minutes into the movie and I could not physically do it anymore. And I was like looking at my phone half the time and I still couldn't do it anymore because like the production team guys said like the exact same things they said, just abbreviated so other people could talk. I was like, can you be any more lifeless?
It is dry. That's for sure.
Like have fun. At least, you know, when Arnold Schwarzenegger did the commentary for Terminator 3, he's like, oh, yeah, in the Terminator, her boobs get bigger so she can seduce the cop. And, like, he's, like, narrating the movie as it's happening. That's more entertaining. Like, he's like, oh, I did this because I'm big on strike. Like, he basically, like, right. narrated the movie from his point of view. Like, right. Well, that was entertaining because it was funny.
But what if that was Arnold on episode 3? I think it followed through the fire.
They just should have got him in to do the commentary.
Yes.
I don't know anything about this movie, but
I wasn't in it, so it's terrible.
I really like Star Trek.
They should get him to do any movie.
I would pay for Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yeah. Like, he needs to join a podcast. He just needs to do like commentaries on random movies. I would totally
Blu-ray. I want.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Star Wars, the box set, Arnold Schwarzenegger commentary. I don't want the J.J. Abrams commentary, which just came out. I want the Arnold Schwarzenegger commentary.
There's a thing with Star Wars Episode 3.
Old habits hard to break.
Yeah, I know. It's one of those movies that I put this – when I saw this, I really enjoyed it. There's for a lot of reasons. But going back, I have like a good memory of it, and I don't like to watch it too much because it kind of breaks the good memory.
What's the good memory of it? Did you have a nice date that night, one night? Or?
No, you know what it was? Because, I mean, if you go back in time, now we have episode 7.
We're talking about 2005.
Yeah, Rogue One's coming out and all that. So we're all a lot of hype and excitement over it. But this was like the last movie at that point. Like, I didn't think there was going to be another movie, period. Like, this was it. And so I was sort of like, you know, like the swan song kind of thing. Like, oh, this is it. This is going to, you know. So I was, I guess, nostalgic when I was watching it. And also, you know, like, but there was some awesome scenes, too. And this is where, you know, we get Darth Vader finally. So
finally. And unfortunately, it happens way too late in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
I felt like actually watching this back. I haven't watched episode 3 as much as the other films, in terms of watching it back throughout the years. And I think I only saw it once in theaters, for what it's worth. But
I saw it 3 times. It's down from 7 on episode 1.
It was a sliding scale.
It's a sliding scale. It's like as my dreams got more and more clouded and I got older, I'm like,
start giving up.
They're just, I'm not missing anything anymore. It's just,
no, this isn't working.
I felt like the commentary actually made there are certain things that it brought about that made this a little bit better for me, believe it or not.
Wow.
When some of the actors were talking, not so much the production team.
But the actors don't matter because they're just playing the part. Like, they don't have really any real say behind anything that happens, though.
True, but some of them, which at some point throughout the podcast, I'll probably throw in points here and there. But they brought up certain things about their characters' mindsets that made it a little more...
Right.
Did Hayden Christensen have a good excuse for the really bad acting on the balcony? It's like, it's just because I'm so in love with you. Is love blind then? At least Natalie Portman can,
she's
like...
bad at
least,
yeah.
At least she's phoning in better than he was.
Ooh, I don't know. That's just uncomfortable all around.
It's also because the dialogue was terrible. That dialogue, according to the commentary, it was written after everything was done, because George Lucas felt like there needed to be a transition scene where they're happy in their marriage before things got crappy. Oh. So he just like did that as pickups.
I guess and a lot of
which is why it's so bad.
He should have just been walking around in a wife beater with like gravy stains.
That would have been great.
You know, like,
yeah, babe.
Give me my beer.
Why don't you just force pull your beer over here, Annie?
Don't call me Annie.
You used to like it when I called you Annie, when I gave you that little chip.
You used to force cut my fruit for me.
And feed it to me seductively.
You don't
Dang
do
it.
You don't cut my fruit.
You don't force touch me that way anymore, Annie.
Oh, God.
All right, so what, Josiah, you were going on at saying something before I interrupted you.
No, I think... episode 2, I still give a little bit of an edge to.
Okay.
I think universally, episode 3 is generally revered as the best of the prequels.
I would have to agree. It is the best of the prequels. Like I said, I think on our first episode with Robbie, that I think I fell in love with Star Wars because like one of the first scenes I ever saw was Return of the Jedi, all the small little ships flying around with the big ships, and it's just something I've never seen before, because Star Trek only deals on a big ship scale.
Right.
Like, Star Trek, like, their small ships are shuttles, and they don't fight, really. I mean, you get the Delta Flyer and Voyager that does a little bit of fighting, but usually in Star Trek, only the big ships do the fighting. So when I saw this, you know, all these itty-bitty ships flying around the big ships, that just blew my mind and made me super excited. So Revenge of the Sith, the opening scene, where there's like that calm before like they dive into like this crazy battle. Like, this is what I was wanting since Return of the Jedi.
Yeah.
Like, it didn't happen in episode one. It didn't happen in episode two. Finally, we get a space battle.
Well, there were space battles, but this was like a kick-ass
large-scale space battle.
There's huge, a lot going on there.
Like a planet-wide space battle that like we never really saw. In
versus a one-on-one. I mean, there was like, you kind
of
had the ship, but I mean, the only reason there's so many ships is because Naboo ships are terrible.
Yeah.
And then in Attack of the Clones, you had a one ship versus one ship.
Right.
Boba Fett versus, Jango Fett versus Obi-Wan.
Right.
And then that's just a one-on-one space battle. That's not as exciting as like just giant space battle.
Oh no, absolutely.
And then they had the buzz droids, and that ruined it for me. The buzz droids killed my buzz for that scene.
Really, it didn't bother me that much.
Especially as a kid, I really liked seeing the buzz droids. I thought that it was a really good idea, and I still kind of see them like that. Obviously, for episode 3 especially. And he kind of went off the deep end with, like, Jar Jar. He just tried to make everything comical. Like, even the super battle droids, they're all...
Yeah, they're
like
silly. They kick and they, you know...
And they never had voices like that in episode 2. Which I... Just because, like, they're way bigger than the regular battle droids.
Right.
They're more like...
The Arnold Schwarzeneggers of the battle droids.
Yeah, exactly.
They should have had those voices. That would have been awesome.
That would have been really, really good.
That way you get Arnold Schwarzenegger to commentate it, because he'd be the voice
that
of the droids.
Awesome.
I was the voice of the droids, the big badass droids, the muscles.
Yeah.
Wasn't D-1000, but...
Yeah.
Close enough.
I agree that... In episode 2, they seem almost a little bit intimidating, and then you get to episode 3, and they just sound stupid. And
yeah.
It's frustrating.
They're really... It's just too much comical stuff, and it's like, you don't... This one is, like, super dark.
Make this
like,
intense. We don't need that comic edge here.
I mean,
yeah, exactly.
You got this one rated PG-13. I mean, Star Trek Into Darkness... I mean, not Into Darkness, Beyond, had, like, great comedy in certain spots, but it's just... It's a concentrated spot where, like, this is funny, and then we're going to be serious now. Like, whenever they're pulling the shard out of Spock's belly and he's like, oh yeah, your line was a piece of shit or whatever, you know,
yeah.
Like, it's just, it's funny, and then we're moving on to something serious.
There's some people like want to put humor in dark places because it makes it more palpable, you know, to mm-hmm. people, but I do agree sometimes it's like, all right, that's just weird.
There's a line that you got to find.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
Crossed in a lot.
George Lucas isn't what we call nuance.
Well, let's just kind of go around what we, you know, just feelings and takeaways on this because, you know, like, there's a lot to consider with this movie because it is, I think it's a better movie than all of the last two. But, I mean, obviously Josiah Fee is a little bit different, but... there's a lot of quality going on, so why don't we start with Trevor?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
High points, low points for you?
The high points would probably be the beginning.
Yeah.
That first space battle is so awesome.
Yeah, I'm there.
Although there's, like, spots where Hayden Christensen is, like, in his fighter, and it's just, I can't listen to him speak because it's just, like, so annoying.
He's not so in love.
Yeah, well, even he just has, like, zero emotion. He's, like, the Kristen Stewart of Star Wars.
Star Wars.
He just has, like, zero emotion.
At least he's not sucking on his lower lip, though.
Yeah, that's true.
We don't know that when he becomes Darth Vader.
Well, he can't help but not suck on his lip, but he's only Darth Vader for 2 seconds of the film, so it doesn't matter that much.
There's that. I actually fell asleep during the movie when I was watching it.
Woo!
Which
riveting.
Your grandpa smacked you to wake you up.
Oh no, not when I first saw it, when I was like rewatching it.
Like, you know who Palpatine is now.
Wake up, man.
Yeah, I actually knew who he was now, so
it made a whole world of difference.
The thrill is gone, baby.
There were so many like different points when I was rewatching it recently where like I would I've seen it so many times just because this is probably my favorite prequel.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was rewatching it, I just like rewatched it the other day, and I would be like watching the movie, and then it would kind of get to like one of those weird, annoying like love scenes between Padme and Anakin,
and then just I'd, like tune out.
Yeah, I would tune out, and I would start looking at my phone, and then I would realize that like 20 minutes went by, and then I would look back up, and the good part of the movie was coming back, and I was like, oh, okay, awesome.
Right, right.
So there was like a couple moments like that. The scene between Anakin and Palpatine where they're at the opera or
there's something mesmerizing about that scene.
Yeah, that whole scene really got me.
Actually supposed to take place. I'm sorry to interrupt you. In
his office.
In his office.
That was supposed to be in his office, like according to the commentary. And they were like, yeah, George Lucas, I think it would be too boring to have another scene in the office. Like, thank God, George Lucas. Thank you for not putting us in another office scene.
Once they'll really make it. That atmosphere a little bit better, just a little bit creepy. Like, what's this is like a space opera.
Yeah, because you don't know what's going on. Yeah. But yeah, that whole scene really got me. And we were talking about it earlier.
How it's like
a meme now. That whole story that he tells about Darth Plagueis. Me and my buddy James. Shout out to James. We always send each other like these memes of. Have you ever heard the tragedy of Darth Plagueis the Wise? And when I was watching the movie, I took a Snapchat and I like switched my face with. Off Palpatine's face, and it was really funny. I sent it to him, and he was like crying, laughing.
You need to send that to us, and like we can put that on the album cover.
It was so funny.
That's great. That's great.
Well, like we were talking about this before earlier too, and I think that scene is probably that's probably the best scene in the entire film. And
that scene right there,
I think that scene is because it immediately made Emperor Palpatine the most interesting character in all of Star Wars. Like I want a spin-off film about Palpatine and about Darth Plagueis. I want to know more about that because just that story and him like hinting at all this stuff. That's way more interesting than anything that has happened in the prequels.
Yeah, I mean, like I've been reading the Darth Bane books. I'm almost done with those. And
would you like some strawberries for fiber?
I don't know. There any kind of like expanded universe stuff where they talk about like the Sith Lords from the past is always like really really cool. So like learning about like Plagueis and Palpatine and I don't know just any of that stuff is always really really good. So yeah, I'd like to see a movie about Plagueis and Palpatine. That'd be really cool.
That'd be cool to see. Any other? What about low points? I mean, obviously you're kind of like zoning out on some of the low points.
But. Yeah. Well, like, towards the end...
Scenes are Hayden Christensen and Natalie Portman on the screen at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. Anytime they were in, like, their apartment, their, like, bungalow that had, like, that balcony, I've always been like, okay, so they were trying to keep it secret, but they have, like, this high-rise apartment.
Which is the same one from episode two.
Yeah.
Everyone knows.
Normally, like, if you're a celebrity and you want to get away, and you have like
if you're
going to
shoot heroin,
paparazzi droids,
and you're a celebrity, you get a basement apartment with like very small windows.
Well, no, even like if you had like the top level, nobody can come and see you. You know what I mean?
Right.
Unless they have like an equally tall building. But it's like Star Wars, so everybody has speeders. All the traffic flies above your apartment.
There are jetpacks.
Somebody's going to find that out.
Yeah, yeah. They're just be like, yeah, paparazzi for sure.
So there's that, and then any. Anytime a Jedi is killed, like a super powerful Jedi, like, like Plo Koon or Kit Fisto or like any of those guys.
God, it just
bugs me so much.
But that's what I was talking about episode two. Like episode two, like totally demystified and wussified the Jedi. Like the guy who blocks three blasters from you know, Jango and then falls to his death. I'm like, what? What?
Yeah,
like that guy was an intern. And they ran out of Jedi to bring to campus.
He was
that
he was
poor
a
guy.
She was the librarian that was told the planet didn't get out there and fight. I don't know how to use this.
What's this lightsaber?
But yeah, any of that stuff, because they always make out, you know, all these master Jedi.
Yeah,
or especially the part where all those Jedi get killed by Palpatine in his office.
Right.
It's like he kills the first, like, three Jedi super fast. It's like, don't you think if there was four, like, Jedi that are on the council that they would be able to take on one Sith Master?
Well, I mean, I can forgive that because that's just showing how badass Palpatine is.
No, but the first one that he kills is seriously he, like, stabs and kills
just lunges right through him.
Everybody that he killed that wasn't Mace Windu there. It was just a bad scene.
Yeah.
In the way he kills them.
Yeah, exactly.
Granted, they do go out like punks, but they do all go out like punks. But I just think it was kind of to show that how badass he was. And you know, no one really knew, like they said he was a Sith Lord, but they didn't know he could fight or anything. Like that was totally a surprise to the Jedi, I think.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I think that kind of like threw them totally off. I mean, I can forgive that, but like just like, you know, Jango Fett taking one out like with three bolts. I'm like, really? I mean, like,
yeah.
Luke's blocked more than that, and he had almost no training. It's not from anyone alive anyway.
Yeah, or any of the people that got killed from like Order 66. I was super
so dumb.
Pissed about that.
Oh, and like, you know, like not sensing it. Like, I mean, after the first one died, other Jedi other than Yoda should have been able to sense that.
Yeah.
Wasn't it technically happening simultaneously?
Yeah, I mean, I guess so, but
not really. Yoda was like having heart palpitations about it.
I don't know.
Like he knew it was coming. Like he kept them from. So I mean, I don't know.
It's interesting.
I mean, I don't mind that they died. It's not that because it's very like.
I just wanted Darth Vader to kill the Jedi because that's how they made it sound in episode four.
Yeah, he hunted down
and killed the Jedi.
Well, maybe he did. We saw the crappy ones get killed, and Darth Vader hunt down the rest of them and the kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Yes, because those are so dangerous. And
in the commentary, they did mention. I don't know if they would have in the commentary you saw, but the kid.
One of them is George Lucas's kid.
No, I'm talking about in the the Jedi
like
Temple,
the security cam footage
when Anakin's about to kill all of them. The kid's like, "Mr. Skywalker, what are we gonna do?" That kid, they said that was a one take thing, and he flinched like on his own. And I think that was awesome.
Yeah,
wow,
just when the lightsaber went on, he just like a little bit his shoulder twitched.
Yeah.
And it was so natural. They're like, "We're done." That's it. How cool is that?
That's actually really good.
Yeah.
That kid acts better than Hayden Christensen.
Yeah, kid, you earned your check for the week. Here's a Hershey bars and a nickel.
No, but the Jedi that dies in front of Jimmy Smits, that's like George Lucas' son, I think.
Jet, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That makes sense.
Well, Josiah, going to you now, like, any high points, low points that you want to kind of like touch on for this movie?
I thought overall pacing was pretty solid for the most part.
Yeah.
This moves very well, especially for a 2.5 hour movie.
Right.
Obviously, you have a few lulls, but for the most part, with it's just so heavy on action. And it's what Star Wars is based on, right? It's
should be.
For the most part.
Action oriented.
It takes everything.
Except for all the politics parts.
Yeah.
Right. Everything that episode one did wrong with in terms of lack of action.
Right.
This one had, you know, more action. I like all the lightsaber duels, just about.
Yeah.
By far the most one-on-one battles or two-on-one battles or Palpatine's case, 4-on-1. I thought they were done fairly decently, particularly Anakin and Obi-Wan's fight. I don't think they could have done that any better. Really?
No, I think that's the
best. It could have been 10 minutes shorter, and it would have been much better.
No.
Yes.
No way.
I liked it.
That's the best.
It was so intense and emotionally heavy. I think it needed to be.
It didn't need to be that long.
I never felt like that.
I don't feel that way. Dave's mentioned this before. I don't feel the same way.
I felt like. I mean, the
kill in Quentin Tarantino's Kill Bill Volume 1, that fight scene goes on a really, really long time, but he changes it up. It goes from like color to black and white to silhouette to like
we
weird
done.
Blue. Like
people are like, what movie am I watching?
I mean, it was a great sword fight. I think that sword fight was way better than the episodes that we won. You know, it was impressive, but it was long and drawn out. And Quentin Tarantino knew this, and so he kept changing the style of the film every few minutes to like make it look different.
Yeah, but Tarantino can play like that.
Like I said, nuance.
And get away with it.
Like I said, nuance.
Right.
I felt like the emotion was so important, though.
I think the first couple minutes of the fight is super impressive, but just when they start climbing on the thing and they go through the lava thing, I'm just like, shouldn't we like? Hey, can we like take a timeout and like? I know we want to kill each other, but like
we
might accident. No, we might.
I'm exhausted. Come on, guys.
I'm not exhausted. I just you know I want to have the satisfaction of actually killing you and not the lava spray accidentally spraying you in the face and making you die. I mean, like it's just they're
parched.
I'm gonna get hydrated.
I'm parched, guys.
Anakin, there's no water on this planet. Don't you understand?
Drink some lava.
I've told you for the last time.
Like, there's parts where they have to like hide from the lava, and I'm like, shouldn't we rethink where we're fighting? Like, shouldn't we fight in the place where we can kill each other fair and square and not like?
Did you guys
have
bring any water
problems?
On the shuttle with you? Man, I should have thought about
what
this.
What if Padme's water might break?
Oh,
gross!
Disgusting.
Okay. Well, here's two counterpoints to that. I'll say one is what Aaron brought up earlier. This was going to be the last Star Wars. This is the last fight, so
you want to just
you got to make it good.
Yeah,
whether it's drawn out or not.
I thought it was the best lightsaber fight out of any of the movies.
Me too.
I think the best one's probably Darth Maul. That is an extremely impressive fight.
Yeah, that's definitely number two.
My
for
second
me.
Favorite is probably the episode 7 fight, only because the lightsabers cast light finally. Like to me, to me that nuance. Of how that looked in the snow and cutting the trees down and all that stuff like that.
Yeah, that looked cool.
That just made it look. I would say those are my top two fights, and this one's probably down really, really far.
I like
it for a different reason. The episode 7 one. You were going to say something.
Empire Strikes Back fight between Luke and Vader. I think that's pretty cool, but
that is a good one.
But I'm old school, so excuse me while I kiss the sky. You young punks.
I would rate that above the Revenge of the Sith one.
Yeah. Well, okay, so lightsaber battle.
Yes.
Anything else that comes to mind? Any low points too?
Yeah, low points.
I definitely had in terms of low points. I think we kind of touched on it with the some of the battles with the Jedi dying a little bit. Too easily, it almost seemed like.
Yeah.
Whether that was done by design or not, because they're shocked at what's happening, that's a whole different story. But CG, I thought at times, was very sloppy.
Really?
Give me some examples. Because, I mean, I thought it was at least a solid.
So, Dooku entering kind of the throne room early on. It was just weird how he flips off.
Yeah, the cape or whatever he's got.
Yeah, and
it's completely CG Christopher Lee there.
And then the part of what makes the commentary so painful is that they have to say, oh, we did a CG Christopher Lee there. We didn't we couldn't get a stuntman to do that, and it would be too hard to rig him up.
Christopher Lee wasn't available that day, was what they said in mind. And I'm like, what? He's filming Star Wars. Like,
yeah.
I think they had it for like a day of shooting for that.
Gotcha. Okay.
And they just did the close ups. Everything else was a stunt double or CG.
Mm. Yeah, I could see that. I just that's one example. Another one.
But he didn't need to do a flip like there. They could have just had him walk down a thing. Like it's
bizarre.
Just...
Like a weird choice. When Obi-Wan and Anakin are fighting Dooku, and Obi-Wan goes down. Dooku brings down the thing on him.
That looks really bad.
Yeah, that looks horrible.
They should have scraped his legs off.
Like, yeah, no, I mean, literally, he should have been like just like a smear on the floor.
Done there, but not even that. He moves. Do you see?
Yeah.
Looks, remember it.
Yeah,
he moves.
That does look really bad.
Yeah. It's real bad.
Yeah.
With Palpatine's fight, like, I know he's supposed to be uber powerful, but it looks like. He makes some really goofy faces there, and the timing seems off with how quickly he moves.
Yeah, the whole...
It doesn't match up to me.
The whole battle between Palpatine and Mace Windu, they both make really weird faces, and they also... I don't even know. That whole choreography of that battle just seems really sloppy to me. Hmm.
Yeah,
like some parts, and then other parts are really good.
I think the mid portion was good, but anytime they'd slow it down, and it would just show Palpatine, like before he goes to stab. At Windu, it looks bizarre to me.
Yeah, exactly.
He phones it like from a mile away, and Mace Windu still can't block it good enough.
Yeah, exactly.
But you know, you're also filming two people who have no idea how to wield weapons, probably. Like Samuel Jackson's used to shooting people. I mean, in movies, not like swinging a sword around. So, yeah. And like Ian McDiarmid, I mean, he's
a great actor,
but he's like what 60 at this point. You know, like it's
okay,
not
at least probably. Yeah. I don't know.
So I mean, it's not like he's in prime fighting condition anyway.
Yeah, I agree. There was one other thing I think that comes to mind with the CG, and it was I think with the battle droids right when Obi-Wan and Anakin and Palpatine get caught in front of that ray shield,
mm-hmm.
when the one kicks R2, it just looks like a cartoon. The super battle droid kicks R2, and
there's just some interactions just don't need to be there. I totally agree.
I know it's supposed to be funny, but that didn't even bother me. The humor bit of it, it was just that it looks bad.
Right.
For such a movie like this, you can't screw those things up. And
they spent so much time on everything else. Like I think they said that compositing and doing the opening space battles was like a year.
Yeah.
Especially. Yeah. I mean, but it's such a high level of production. You know, this is like the high watermark of any movies that would be out there. It's like when you mention things like that, you're like, why would you make that choice and then not follow through?
But I think a lot of these CG issues stick out worse now in 2016 versus 2005.
I felt about this, I think, probably the same way since the movie came out.
Oh, really?
I will say, that's a good point that as we get further away from it, you'd think it would probably be more prominent. But I think some of the stuff that looks great still looks
yeah
really
still
great.
Holds up
well,
yeah.
it does it's,
which is crazy,
but they were also pioneering. I mean, they were using the most recent special effects subset surface scattering,
but I see it a lot like I see it in different movies, like I don't know if I've mentioned that on the podcast before. I know I've talked to you about it before, is the remake, Peter Jackson's remake of King Kong.
Oh yeah,
the one I love the most of the movie, but the one scene where the like the brontosauruses are running down the ravine
chasing.
It's the worst rendered scene.
It looks really bad.
It's a terrible scene. Somebody should have said something or just scrapped the whole scene. It didn't have to. You could probably get away with most of that scene not being there.
Yeah, that was an already long movie that didn't need that scene.
That did not need
it. Yeah, exactly.
And it wasn't in the original movie at all.
And then they cut out stuff that was in the original movie.
Yeah.
There was a couple of scenes I was looking forward to see from the original movie. I can't tell you what they are now, but at the time I was like, oh, I want to see this scene. And then it's like, it wasn't there, but there's all these other scenes that weren't there that are. I'm like,
Well, anyways, but so, yeah, I mean, it confounds me when you have a high production level for a movie and then you have scenes like that. Yeah. You're like,
it's like they didn't get the third and fourth pass or something like that.
Somebody should have just said, no, you go back and rework it. You know?
I was kind of like that with episode 2, and when Anakin's riding on the back, he's like standing on the back of that big fat thing on Naboo.
Yeah, that looks awful.
It's terrible.
When he's riding that, and when I saw it in the movie theater, I was like, this looks horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I was the kid that didn't know who Palpatine was, but I still saw
you
this.
That look bad.
Yeah, I was
your shit meter was going off like, nope.
Wow.
Nope.
No, something's not right about this.
Oh, that's great.
How about you, Dave, for high points, low points?
High points, like I said earlier, the Palpatine, Darth Plagueis talk, super high point. the space battle until the buzz droids came. Like the first opening part of the Obi-Wan Anakin fight, it was really intense. When they're in the inside and they're out of the elements, like that was really intense and good. Low points, like the I've got the high ground, Annie, don't try it. Okay, you were hanging by your fingertips and you jumped over a guy with a double sided lightsaber or two lightsabers in each hand at that time, and you didn't get a scratch.
It's a Jedi Master.
Yes.
So was Anakin at the time.
Yeah,
he's a big Jedi Master.
Well, he was a Padawan at the time in Episode One.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just like, oh, I've got the high ground. Like, what does it matter? Jump to the side. Jump anywhere. Anywhere else, you could have jumped and like.
It is carried, the same jump, which is funny.
It's just like what, like that just killed me. I'm just like it's the. I mean, like. If you're going to be on a lava planet and he gets burned, like, make him jump and, like, a lava flume comes out and gets him. And Obi-Wan's like, oh, I don't have to do anything now. Like, something. Like, you know, I mean, the whole point of him being there is so he can get burned, because that was, like, the lore of what happened, how Vader became Vader from, like, you know, 1977. That was, like, the lore that was nebulous and somewhere out there. So... just, you know, have an accident happen. Like, you know, Vader's supposed to, and Anakin's supposed to be the most powerful Jedi. Like, have him, like, get made a quadriplegic because he made a dumb choice that Anakin, that Obi-Wan also did, you know, a couple years before and came out completely fine. Like, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a really low point for me. Like,
it's an incredible swipe that Obi-Wan got the three legs and the arm, too.
The three legs and the arm, yes.
I meant three limbs, oh no.
Oh no, he cut off his penis, too.
I know.
No.
You don't even know the struggle of Darth Vader.
He's like, yeah!
I need that!
His voice is only so low.
I hate you! He didn't care about his arms and legs, it's his penis. Yeah. Guy. Like, I hate
my legs,
I could never
arm,
have sex
my
with
dick.
I could never have sex
the
with Pat Man again.
Well, I don't think she was going back to that anyway.
Yeah.
After he force chokes her, he voice chokes her for because he was moody. Like,
that's another thing that I don't like is that he flips so quickly on her.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like everything else is tough enough, but that he just all of a sudden decides to lose his mind on and chokes her. The whole point of him going to the dark side, it's like, come
I know.
On.
I think a low point for me is also the Padme dying in childbirth. Like, giving dying for.
She's got a broken heart.
I'm sad, so I'm going to die. I'm like, you just gave birth to twins. You should, like, you know, mope later. Like, and then, you know, and also in the commentaries, and this will come back to this point, but in the commentary, they're talking about how George Lucas is such a stickler for, like, oh, we got to make the continuity work. You know, how the fighters in the opening scene, they've got to be in the right place and the right time because I've made the right number of buzz droids. Continuity, super important.
Yeah.
Leia said that she knew her real mother and that she was really sad. I only recall Luke being shown to Padme's face before she died.
Maybe yeah. It was a fourth... Force vision that Leia tapped into. We don't really know what Leia's strength is in the Force in this canon, so
that's true.
I don't know.
Not yet.
I just think that
yeah, right.
That you know she should have you know
oh, maybe
that
Leia's
Padme should have just
Sith Lord. Maybe
yes,
Leia's the Sith Lord the whole
Snoke.
Time.
Leia's definitely Snoke.
Yes. Oh, I can't wait. That'll be great. No, you heard it here first. Leia Snoke theory. I hadn't heard that one before.
Now I want that to happen. I really do.
And Aaron, what about you, high and lows?
Like I said, I didn't want to go back and watch this because it's like, you know, looking at like old photographs of happy times, then you notice that maybe you weren't so happy.
That's not how I remembered it.
That's so sad. Like, I wasn't that happy.
I was just young and dumb.
I was just, yeah.
I didn't know what Palpatine was.
obviously, this some of the scenes that we've already talked about touched on. The opening sequence is awesome. Just there's very little that's bad about it. I do like the last lightsaber battle between Obi-Wan and Anakin. Darth Vader getting actually his armor on in the whole apparatus has a very Frankensteinish thing going on. I kind of like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I also like General Grievous but I do have a problem with them because they kind of just like we said before with Dooku, like last time, they just kind of just drop him in there. Like, we know the backstory with,
yeah,
with
Clone
him.
Wars, yeah.
But if you were just to say, like, who the hell is this guy? Like, if you just watched the movies, you'd be like, this, okay, so this is some crazy robot guy who collects lightsabers? You know, like Pez dispensers? So,
as.
Exactly.
As Josiah waves over to his Pez dispenser collection
he's,
on the wall.
He's the General Grievous of Pez. No, but I mean, it's like, it seems out of place that they would actually just like, why
is
would
General Grievous? No.
Can you imagine?
That would be
I
awesome.
So hard. Saber instead of a Pez.
You're going to Google that like right after the show. I've got to have a...
Jamie, look that up for us.
Yeah, so those are some of the... I mean, the I like the battle between Grievous and Obi-Wan. I think there's a lot of fun parts to it, like when he's swinging the lightsabers and those, you know, windmill... kind of thing. Yeah. That's pretty cool. I mean, the whole thing.
The thing about that scene, though, I just wish, like, Ewan McGregor had some idea of what he was looking at, because he doesn't react to it at all.
I know.
No, he did, it's, like, a Jack Sparrow thing where he was like...
Yeah, yeah.
But, no, but he just kind of smiles and, like... And he's just, like, he's like looking defiant at the thing, and he gives this weird little smile, and it's just like, what? Like...
Son of a gun!
That's it. So there is a General Grievous Pez dispenser.
You have to own it now. We got to put it next to the other
one. I must have it.
$50 on eBay.
$7.99, Aaron.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Order it. Nice.
Do it.
Do it now.
Do it.
Give me the Pez.
No. Power. Unlimited power.
I don't know if any of you guys watch Top Gear, but whenever Jeremy Clarkson like is in driving in the car and he just like floors it, he always yells power. He's like, power, in an English accent. So I was looking at videos the other day, and I just happened to search for Palpatine's voice added to that. It's so funny.
There's somebody actually did that.
Wow. So good.
Wow. Unlimited power.
That's awesome.
Oh, man.
The opera scene in this movie.
Oh, beautiful.
It has like a David Lynch kind of feel to it.
It
like
does.
You
it's
get
so
this
weird.
This hypnotic, terrifying thing all at once. Like you're kind of like, what
it's
am I
weird.
In? Like, isn't there like a terrifying aspect to it? Like the music?
The music
is haunting.
What I think personally, the music in the prequels is better than the music in the originals.
There's definitely some.
Yeah. I mean, just to like listen through the entire album.
Yeah, yeah.
I think. I mean, obviously, the older music is like more iconic, but
right.
I think overall,
but
the
John
score,
Williams also had like 30 years to like perfect his art.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know,
right.
He honestly gets better with age.
Yeah.
He's like a fine wine.
Seriously, we listened to episode 3 soundtrack on the way. I was like, oh,
yeah.
We're gonna listen to this.
Even like the super dark music. Like during the opera scene, it's just so good to listen to.
Yeah.
I agree. That opera scene, though, in addition to the really dark story that Palpatine is telling him about Plagueis, like they really back that up nicely with everything visually.
It was such a great scene.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. It is. You feel like entranced. I don't know how to even like a seduction of innocence. And it's not even that. You don't quite know how to put it, but it's just there's something like evil,
well,
but seductive at the same
really,
time.
It's definitely a seduction scene. It's like
he's praying on
getting him to come to
the
dark side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's just like getting him what he wants most.
He's shown him all the good parts.
All the good parts.
Look at my legs, Anakin.
Oh, no. Oh,
older men in power.
Low points. Still, there is just no chemistry between Portman and Hayden Christian. I wonder if they actually hate each other. At this point, like, do
she
they just
talked about him like she really likes him in the few times, like whether it's the commentary or interviews?
Yeah,
and I'm always like.
Yeah. I don't know.
Must
I just
like, touched your butt in a weird way after he touched her back in episode 2.
Yeah. Why are so awkward?
And she's like, no.
No, I can't do that. Never forgave him for that awkward touch in episode 2.
Get your Canadian ass out of here.
But the battle between the Emperor and Yoda, I think could have been a little better.
Yeah,
we talked about that. There were some really, really nice points.
And then
when they got to the Senate chamber,
yeah,
he just, again, is like a little too goofy for us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the way he starts flinging stuff, the way he makes those noises, he's like, ah!
Yeah. Yeah. And what, like, isn't there anybody else in the chambers? It'd be like you going into like the floor of Congress and just starting like a fight.
Throwing
with
the
yeah.
like to be a crowd,
like grabbing a chair
around.
And like smacking someone
or
over the head
like
with
a
it.
Janitor or something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like Stan Lee should have been sitting in one of the things. Just been like, what's
Excelsior.
Going on?
Yeah.
Well, maybe with a Donald Trump, they'll institute some sort of like chair fighting contest.
Yeah, yeah.
Some
yeah.
There you go.
Hit in the head with a freaking metal chair. No, but I mean, there should have been somebody. There should have been. And somebody be like,
nobody was there. It's kind of weird.
I'm gonna lightsaber, you know.
Considering yeah. this place is big enough to have its own spaceport built into it, like yeah. nobody was around.
Yeah, all these pods there. Cost a lot.
This is taxpayers' money.
I am the Senate.
taxpayer credit.
It's so much. Yeah. So I don't know.
Result of extending the powers through the chancellor.
Yeah. That's another one. I don't know. So anyways, I mean, there's a couple low points, but those are the high points for me.
Yeah. Jamie, do you have any high and low points? She shakes her head in sadness.
Finding the Grievous Pez.
Grievous Pez. No. No.
She's a reference
Unlimited.
Person.
Unlimited. Power.
Speaking of unlimited power, I think like a lot of people say that Mace Windu beat Palpatine in that fight scene, and I've always been of the opinion that he let him win.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Like a lot of people are like no. I'm like the only way he it just doesn't make sense. He killed the other three Jedi without a problem and Mace Windu. So I mean like. It just like so he was just toying with Mace Windu until Anakin
I think he let him disarm him. I had one too many beers and it's my first beer.
Show's called Synthaholics.
Yeah.
You're in the right place.
I think he let Mace Windu disarm him because
yeah.
he felt the presence of Anakin coming in.
And always felt like the lightning being you know thrown back on him is just reveals his true self.
Yeah, exactly.
Not like. Because, you know, the story of Darth Plagueis, who knows how old the Emperor is? That's why he's become the most interesting character. Who knows his actual age?
Yeah.
If he's been siphoning life from people.
McDermott mentioned something super interesting in the commentary, that he always felt Palpatine had his mask on when he was in Senate mm-hmm. or Chancellor. And, mm-hmm. like, him looking normal was actually his mask.
That was his mask.
And he said, like, I had contacts in, essentially. But when the lightning hits him and he goes to the form that we see him in from Return of the Jedi with that, you know, that white messed up old skin and the red / yellow eyes. He's like, that's like the true face of Palpatine.
Right.
Yeah. That's how I always felt. I always felt that it was just revealing his true form. Like he just couldn't hold up the guise anymore. All his power was being sucked away.
Or didn't want to.
Yeah. Or he just didn't feel like holding it anymore.
Yeah.
Because he had Anakin in his pocket. It's like, I can. Not
sure.
not to the facade anymore.
By the way, that prosthetic that they had on his head, it just looked like a giant ass. Like
did.
A weird, like, wrinkly...
You know, I was thinking the same thing.
Looked like he... No, you know what it looked like? It looked like he had
There's
abs
Star Trek
on his
aliens that look
head.
Like that, that have the ass for... Like from the Riker one where he goes crazy?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot the episode.
I can't remember. I thought my head. Damn.
Yeah, I know. Like in Star Trek, they have... Like super weird looking aliens, kind
of
like that. Like Worf has like that weird thing on his
head. Looks like a fanny.
Is that a fanny pack on your head? Yeah, yeah
I'm surprised I knew his name, to be honest. Yeah, I knew one thing about Star Trek.
Yay!
I know a character. And you win nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
Nothing. Nothing. Ultimate nothing.
I was thinking too for. Oh man, I lost my train of thought because I'm thinking of nothing. I don't know. I lost it.
So you were talking about.
Oh, the
ass
way
face.
That is. Yeah, the ass face.
Yeah, that's why you're bringing up is that like a fanny.
No. I was thinking something before we got to the fanny part, but
gotcha.
I lost it. The fanny.
Fanny throws many off.
Yeah. My fanny head. My fanny head brings all the boys to the yard. Teach you, but I have to charge.
There you go.
Ice, baby.
No.
Just combine two songs. That's great.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
He always. So Dave knows nothing about music. And all he knows is Ice Ice Baby.
And lots of Metallica.
Metallica. He knows a lot of Metallica, but that's
hey,
about
that's
it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I was raised on classical music and Scottish music by my family, by my parents.
So.
Metallica is a mix of both. An angry Scottish person.
Yeah. James Hetfield, yeah.
Well, yeah, so the parts that are great are awesome, but there's definitely some parts that fall down, and I think you touched on the one where Padme dies in childbirth. I just they could have just said that, you know, Anakin injured her too much for her to live. I don't know, anything could have, you know, they could have even done a scene where, like, maybe he threw her and, like, the concussion.
Yeah.
It was going to kill her. Yeah, she just kind of collapsed. She got choked a little bit. I mean, that probably would have endangered the babies more than her. I mean, you can get a little bit choked and not, like,
yeah,
not
yeah.
be harmful to you.
But it would have been kind of cool if he, like, threw her and, like, broke her neck and she died that way. And then the only way to... well, no. But, I mean...
It's just, so cool to kill Natalie Portman that way.
No, I just mean so then we wouldn't have to, like, go through the whole childbirth scene.
Well, I just wish that, you know...
And then Obi-Wan cuts her open like a tauntaun.
It's like, yeah.
Just pulls the kids out.
It's not gonna... I thought she smelled bad on the outside.
Oh, man.
That's great.
I don't want to look this up, but I bet you there's some sort of video of that.
I saved
Jamie,
the babies.
Get on it.
I saved the babies.
I was mostly joking, but go ahead. Have fun.
No, I agree. That's, I mean, there should have been something kind of more concrete on yeah. her, like why she died. Like, nobody, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean,
has anybody ever heard of anybody dying of a broken heart?
Well, actually, after I watched the movie...
You looked it up?
Google no, it? There was a new, not necessarily a news story, but something of the sort where...
Someone died of a broken heart?
Yeah, people have died of a broken heart before.
What?
Like, you see it in a lot in older couples where, like, the husband might die first, and then, like, a couple weeks later, the... Or, like, a week later, the wife dies or something like that.
I can add to that. My wife is a funeral director. Around the holidays, their numbers go up in terms of how many services they will do, like, exponentially in November and December.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Older people will pass away in the holidays, and the older, you know, the surviving member will follow suit weeks later. It's not necessarily actually, like, a broken heart, but it drains their system.
Yeah, they just...
And something else fails as a result of it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not saying maybe that's what happened
here. Well, it's probably like mental stress, like losing your partner for so long.
Can I add two things to that? It's middle of winter, you know, when their spouse dies.
Yeah, yes.
So there's probably more germs. They're coming in contact with far more people.
True.
So maybe something they catch
those young, snotty kids.
Yeah. This is your great-great-grandson.
You killed Grandpa. How do you feel?
Yeah. So I don't know, I've never heard that. I mean, I'm not disbelieving you, but
yeah. I thought it was something about, like, they did a study after the movie came out, and everybody's like, "Oh, that doesn't happen." And then they did the study where it's like, "Oh yeah, it actually
it can
it happens, but usually it happens in senior citizens. Like, does it happen for any young people?
Yeah.
Like it doesn't really happen for people who are, like, in their prime.
It doesn't. Yeah, exactly. It's a natural cause. You know, happened is. Especially if you're younger.
And now that we're talking about babies, like, I've always, like, just Obi-Wan walks up to to Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru, and
hey,
like,
take this baby.
Here! Like, your sort of half-brother, or, like, is Owen, like, actually Shimi's son also, or was she from he from a separate marriage?
From...
A previous marriage of Owen.
I thought he was half-brother.
So Owen... is the guy you see in episode 3. His dad, Kleeg, is the one you see in episode 2. Well, you see both in episode 2. But he marries Shmi.
But he already had the kid.
Yes.
Yeah, so...
Really?
They are half-brothers.
So, yeah, but they're stepbrothers. They're not related by blood.
Yeah, there's
actually yeah.
Yeah, they're stepbrothers,
like stepbrothers.
Yeah, like John C. Reilly and Will Ferrell. Yeah. That'd be a funny movie.
That'd be
great.
Star Wars stepbrothers.
Force took it too far one day and tried to do a crisp.
Yeah. That'd be awesome.
Well, it's just like it's like oh, they hand Owen the baby. Did you bring any baby formula? Like what? Yeah. Like how are we supposed to feed this?
No diapers. No nothing.
You didn't bring any.
Got all that blue milk.
And then, the desert.
You're bringing a baby to a desert because he doesn't like sand. Sand's rough and it gets everywhere. I'll never go back there.
So you bring a baby,
yes,
which is going to have sand all over it.
Just roll that baby in the sand.
But you know, I was thinking about this.
Vader will never touch it.
Yeah, it'll never come to your head.
Gross.
No.
Well, you know, I was thinking about this the other day, and I'm just like, okay, so he brings them the kid. So does Owen hate Obi-Wan because he put a kid on him?
Yeah.
Like, does he
you
hate
You ruined
him?
My life, like, Obi-Wan. Yeah,
you gave me a kid. Like, I mean, if he hates him so much, why did he take the kid? And second of all, like, Obi-Wan never met him ever before. How did he, like, know to go there?
That's a good point. My takeaway is that Obi-Wan was staying on Tatooine to sort of just watch over Luke and make sure nothing happened. So sure. He's probably just like that annoying guy that kind of showed up every once in a while and was like, you know.
Hey, that kid I brought, is he okay?
Yeah. So but maybe.
They would have known that, well, they knew Anakin was from there. So
maybe there's just like a resentment, you know, not like a hatred, just like, oh, that guy again, you know.
I think part of it may be like, just dude, stay away.
Yeah, it's like, you're weird, okay?
Last time you came over, you brought me a kid I didn't want to raise.
He probably was grumpy to begin with.
Yeah, yeah.
Baru was probably like, but we got to keep him. I think it came from, they know what happened to, I don't know if they would know what happened to Anakin, actually.
Like, but did he, like, I would love to see a scene as like, well, remember your stepbrother? Yeah, he killed a lot of people. Here's this kid. Have fun.
Don't tell
anybody, because he might come in here and kill you too.
Right.
And I'm just going to walk away.
He didn't say
not that much. I'll be 10 miles up the road if you need.
I'm going to go build
for some power converters. Yeah, so that seems
very lonely.
I'm very lonely.
And then Leia sort of goes to Alderaan.
She gets raised,
golden
teeth in her mouth.
Yeah,
the nice end of that deal. Dude.
Yeah,
honestly, what the heck?
At least she was like, "What the fuck, man?" Like,
at least she wasn't on the planet when it blew up. You know. At least she's got there.
That's true.
Yeah. I saw a great meme. It's like Tarkin.
Yeah.
Tarkin guaranteed no unemployment on Alderaan. And there is zero unemployment on Alderaan. And I was like, yes, Tarkin 2020.
That's solid.
One of the things that was in my mind in 2004, leading up to 2005 for this movie, my hopes and dreams were like, Darth Vader would happen like way sooner in the movie, and then there'd be like a cut forward to 20 years where like Leia gets, they'll have some kind of other person play Leia. She gets the plans for the Death Star, and then they start running, and then the Star Destroyer comes after them. So that way you could take out Episode 3, put in Episode 4, bam, you're right there. Like that's how I wanted Episode 3 to end, with just like the blockade runner flying away from a Star Destroyer, so you could put in the next movie.
That's cool.
Get right going. I just was like, oh, this would be so great, the way to end it. Just skip forward.
In Rogue One.
Just skip forward. Well, I mean, maybe Rogue One will end that way. That would be fantastic.
I do think we're going to see some sort of tie-in almost immediately into Episode 4 with that. But, yeah.
Well, maybe.
I was hoping that, what's her name? Emilia Clarke from Game of Thrones. I thought that she was going to play, like, young Leia at the end of Rogue One, but then...
She's in the Han Solo movie.
Yeah, exactly. But
I mean, they could have brought some of these. I mean, there could be a cameo. I doubt it.
It would be really nice, though.
It'd be a cool.
Would be a really nice tie-in. Yeah, definitely.
There were a few things that were cut from the movie that I, or never even made it kind of to the, almost like the, actual production. But Lucas had told us early on that we would absolutely find out about Anakin's father. I guess we don't necessarily know that.
Well, I think he implies that the Emperor is his father. Like whenever too. He looks at him, like I think that's meant to be inferred.
I agree, but I guess there had been something else that was like this is it, like for sure, like no room, no gray area. I don't know. I like this one, but because Lucas said that in the lead up to it, I was like kind of really expecting it.
Really?
Because I was super obviously into Star Wars at that time, and I read everything I could. In one of the interviews, he's like, "You find out Anakin's father." The other thing was, we never found out really who Sifo Dyas was, did we?
No.
No, and like, they,
at all?
No, no, not at all. And they kind of brought that up in the Clone Wars cartoon.
I thought Sifo Dyas was Dooku, which is his Jedi name.
That's what I thought.
That's what I think they said in the commentary, that Sifo Dyas was his Jedi name and Count Dooku's his Sith name.
But then, I think that was one direction they were going, but then I read on that he was actually just Dooku when he was...
Yeah, because Dooku was Qui-Gon's, like, master.
Yeah.
And
his, yeah, like, Count was, like, a family thing from his family that he took that name back when he left the Jedi Order.
Yeah, because his Sith name was Darth Tyrannus.
Oh, yeah, Tyrannus, not Sifo Dyas. I don't know.
Yeah, Sifo Dyas
was the code
but
name.
But Sifo Dyas would be his Jedi name because Dooku was a Jedi before.
Well, Sifo Dyas in the Clone Wars cartoon... had
character.
Yeah, he had premonitions that there was going to be a giant war coming,
mm-hmm.
and he went to the cloning factory on Kamino and like commissioned this without the council's like orders to do so.
Who's paying for this?
Yeah,
he's got this money. I assume they don't make clones of the goodness of their heart.
No, but yeah,
and then arm them and train them.
He was like,
he had the Republic credit card,
money.
So
yeah.
He was like, who has that credit card?
It's like, yeah. What is this charge for 1 million clones of Kamino? And let me call Kamino tech support. Hello? I don't think I ordered this. Can I get a refund on my...
No, you definitely ordered this.
It's like an Amazon.
Yeah.
What are we going to do all these goddamn clones?
They're just...
No,
you going to put them all?
No, they were originally trained just to like be like janitors.
Yeah, right.
And then they were a galactic janitor force. But it's like they couldn't pay their bills. Like, they're going to arm them, and we're going to take that money back.
That's right. That's
why
right.
do they come with armor? All they need is a broom and a mop.
That's why they're all terrible shots.
Because
they're real good at cleaning.
Yeah.
But they've only been really programmed
vacuum cleaners.
How about that conversation? I went behind your back. I ordered 1 million clones.
I'm sorry.
It's non-refundable. We've got to use them.
But he was killed by like bounty hunters or something like that.
I guess
yes,
Dooku
because
had something to do with that whole thing.
Oh.
Yeah, no, that's exactly what it was.
Friends. And then I assumed early on that Sifo Dyas was Qui-Gon, or maybe like another name for him.
Yeah,
it seemed like something he would have done. But
yeah, well, before the Clone Wars cartoon came out, that's what I assumed. I assumed one that it was either Dooku or Qui-Gon.
And yeah,
but my only thing was in Attack of the Clones when Obi-Wan says. It says it was ordered by someone named Sifo Dyas, and Mace and Yoda look at each other, and they're like, he's been dead for a long time or something like that.
Yeah.
I think they make that comment. So that's why I didn't think it was...
10 years ago.
Yeah.
The Sifo Dyas spinoff.
Yeah.
<That's a Netflix series>. But, what was I going to say?
Too much beer.
Too much beer.
No, yeah. But I am really bummed that they didn't like bring that up in the movie. That's one of the things that I wanted. Yeah.
Wasn't brought up.
Why was that never resolved?
One of the interesting. Yeah, it should have been resolved. He puts in all these mysteries and like, oh, let's do 15 minutes of political stuff. Fun.
It's kind
of
like
no one cares
I
about this.
See anything political? Like, just stop. You know?
No.
I remember
C SPAN in space.
Space SPAN.
Yeah.
I would watch Space SPAN. That'd be awesome.
No, but what I was going to bring up was that in the commentary on the regular like there's the people behind the scenes commentary that George Lucas actually mentions Episode 7. So keep in mind this is like within weeks or months of the release of Revenge of the Sith. In the movie theaters. So he's like saying, you know, he's talking about the Senate because, you know, of course he's talking about the Senate.
His
and he's
favorite.
Like, he's like, politics has always been in Star Wars. You just have to look for it. I'm like, yeah, kind of, not really.
Not really.
I mean, they mentioned the Senate like in passing two or three times in all three of the original movies.
Right.
But he's like, well, you know, it's big in episode 1, 2, and 3, and then it kind of goes away in episode 4, 5, and 6, but then it'll make a comeback in episode 7. And he said that. He said episode 7, like he was going to do it. But then a couple years later, he said, I'm not doing episode 7. Nobody's doing episode 7. It's never going to happen. And then a couple years later, he sells it to Disney.
Asterisk yeah. Disney.
Well, see, he's the ultimate flip-flopper, right? Like,
yeah.
How many special editions do we have? Things that would change in all these different versions.
Well, he also said he wasn't going to do the prequels either for the longest time.
Yeah.
Well, you always said that he was never going to do it because he couldn't. The technology wasn't feasible for him to do.
But the thing is, before during episode 4, he was talking about three trilogies, and he even told Mark Hamill, "I want you to come back in 30 years and play an old version of Luke, so you can be like, you know." And there's an interview of a very young, crazy looking Mark Hamill with a weird haircut talking about, you know, coming back in 30 years to.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, he had these like grand plans, and he just like kind of gave up on them. It's just so weird.
He had a fourth trilogy written. So we had a 7, 8, 9, and then a 10, 11, 12 that...
I think he outlined them. I don't think he really wrote them. He didn't even write the prequels until, like, right before they were supposed to come out. So, I mean...
Yeah, maybe that's fair. Disney owns those treatments, and they basically looked at him and were like, we're going to do our own thing, which is probably
they just like, thanks, George. We'll throw him in the trash.
Go back now. Like, there's no more Star Wars flip-flopping.
Well, the thing is, like... Kathleen Kennedy, I think they were talking about just doing spinoffs after episode 9, and I'm really kind of nervous about that because the spinoffs to me, like, I don't really care about them. I mean, I'll go see them because it's Star Wars, but at the same time, I don't really care because, I mean, a lot of them are like prequels, and I'm like, well, we know basically what happened. It doesn't matter unless they tie into the main movies.
As long as these make money, they will continue doing episodic.
But I want, you know, I want a 10, 11, 12. I want to see, like, I hope they don't kill Mark Hamill so they can do a 10, 11, 12 as soon as they get done so he can carry on and actually have his Jedi Academy. Like, he was, like, I was hoping there would be in episode 7.
Sure.
You know, like, I want to see him be in as many movies as possible. I don't want the huge gap, like, you know, 6 years of just spinoffs and then before another trilogy comes.
I think they're done with that older cast. I think they're going to do away with just about everyone at some point here in 8 or 9.
Yeah, for sure. Just absolutely.
You know, because...
We need the Jedi Academy to come back. Like, I don't want there to just be one Jedi hanging out.
That's
like,
where you're going to have Rey or whoever they make.
Right.
I want Rey to turn bad.
No.
Damn you. Yes.
She's too sweet.
Don't talk about Daisy Ridley that way.
Yeah.
No, but that would be like the ultimate thing. Like, you know, have it flip halfway.
No, Leia Snoke and
Leia Snoke.
Can't have two bad girls.
Kylo Ren turns good and Rey turns evil. This is how it's going to be.
You see those memes where like they've changed them around graphically? Like, she's basically in a dark image, dark clothes.
Yeah.
And he's with a green lightsaber. It looks interesting.
Yeah, it does.
I would love to see them flip in the second movie and have her go bad. I want to see a female antagonist. Snoke was supposed to be a female antagonist, and then they changed their mind at the last second. I'm like, come on.
Could be female. We don't know.
Leia.
we don't know. That's
true. I don't know why. I called it first.
Set the holics for all your newest Star Wars theories.
Yeah.
We gotta come up with a new one. We're always reacting to theories. Let's do that.
Oh, Leia Snoke. Let's do it.
That's good.
We'll find out next year.
Yeah, we will. yeah, I don't know. I do think... Yeah, I think you're right. They're going to just phase out all the older. Cause, I mean,
it's the passing of the buck at this point.
You know, Mark Hamill is, you know, still viable, but I mean, he's not going to be around forever either. I mean, he might have been.
He's the same age as Sir Alec Guinness was when they did episode 7.
Right. No, I'm just thinking Leia would actually be youngest. She's the youngest out of all of them. She was
she was 19. She was 19 when they were filming.
Yeah.
For the first film.
But she's lived a very rough life. So.
Yeah, she looks way older than.
She, if you know anything about her back history, she's...
She doesn't even remember shooting episode 5.
Wow.
5 or 6, one of them.
Yeah, gosh. I believe it.
That's crazy.
It was a crazy time.
Yeah.
Lots of heroin.
Yeah.
Lots and lots of heroin.
But
Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I heard that she had that affair with Harrison Ford.
Did you guys read that excerpt at all?
Yeah.
Like, there's an excerpt from the book?
Yeah.
It's intense.
Yeah.
And it's not, like, graphic. It's just her mindset and her emotions and this like need to like be with him, and it's like,
right.
Yeah,
wow, like that makes you look at things differently.
Yeah, but she was 19; he was like 36 or something at the time. It's just like,
sure. I mean, she's a kid, and you know, in Hollywood, and you got Harrison Ford there,
married
and
with kids,
and she even mentioned that she, because her mom had an affair, and no, her father had an affair on her mom. And, you know, how it broke up the family. And she, you know, like, it was devastating at the time. And she's like, I know what that's like. And then I go ahead and do it, you know, with Harrison Ford. Who has,
super, getting super deep now, guys.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. we do wax philosophical some here sometimes. Like,
but, yeah, but it was one of those things you're just like, wow, that's
yeah.
crazy,
yeah.
you know. That happened. But that doesn't surprise me in a lot of ways because, you know.
I heard she went through a lot of the casting crew, though.
Really?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's what I heard. I don't know for sure, but poor Mark Hamill.
I think I might stay away from that book. I don't want her. I don't want her.
Might cloud your mind of Carrie Fisher.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
It's bad enough.
Yeah.
We'll leave it there.
Just go see Postcards from the Edge, that movie, because that's all based on her. So.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's a good movie.
I never heard of it. You're not surprised. You're just going to laugh and be like, I did not surprise David. You uncultured swine!
There's just other things than Star Trek and Star Wars.
What?
Yeah.
Get out of here. You're lying.
I'm not, what, like what? Pokemon?
Like, no. What kind of thing?
Yeah, there's that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I don't know. But Episode 3, I think is, like, I still think it's the best out of all the prequels. But like I said, it still doesn't quite hold up compared to, you know, 4, 5, and 6 for me.
Oh, it's just, no.
Granted,
actually,
yeah.
Actually, my wife's favorite Star Wars movie
is
any
3?
Of them, which is crazy to me.
Really? Well,
yes. I mean, that's kind
of... Why isn't she here?
Yeah.
As somebody who, like, isn't necessarily completely in love with Star Wars, I mean, I don't necessarily know if Lauren is... But, like, I could see that because I've showed, like, my little, like, cousins and stuff like that, Star Wars. And they're in love with, like, episode 1, 2, and 3. And then they always kind of look at, like, 4, 5, and 6. And they're like, why does everything look so old? Blah, blah, blah. And yeah. It's kind of just like, if you weren't... I mean, I wasn't there to see them firsthand. But if you don't know that those are the original ones and... they were the, you know, the catalyst to start all this huge universe off.
Right.
Then you kind of look and say, oh, yeah, it's old and crappy. And right. I always thought it was funny how, like, 4, 5, and 6 were the supposed to be, like, the newer, like, ships and vehicles and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then, like, you watch 1, 2, and 3, and you're like, yeah, but everything here is, like, so shiny and new and
yeah.
blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, yeah. I could see that, especially... like I said, with like little kids or people who yeah. aren't necessarily like...
Yeah, I've run into that myself, too. Yeah. I've run into a lot of younger folks that enjoy the prequels compared to the first
And it's
episode.
Almost always younger people.
Yeah. yeah.
But, like, sure. you know, like, I mean, back in the day, like, you know, Empire's been around for 20 years at the point where episode 4 starts. So, like, I think George Lucas was trying to be alliterative where he's just, like, everything's, like, imperfect. Everything's dirty and grimy because this empire just caused everything to...
It's grinding everything
down. ...degrade over years. And before the empire, everything was nice and shiny and perfect.
Yeah, it was like a golden age. yeah. yeah, it was golden age of everything.
So I think that, you know, maybe that's why the Naboo ships were gold.
I will say, we talked about it the other day because I was like, you know, we're coming onto this podcast. We're going to talk about Revenge of the Sith. And she was my favorite one. I go, still. And she goes, possibly not. She's like, it might be in a tie with Force Awakens. Force Awakens is my favorite of any of the seven.
Hmm.
Empire is probably tied with it.
Mm-hmm.
But, interesting, I mean, so we were 15 when we started dating, but I introduced her to all of Star Wars, basically. So she would have seen all 6 originally with me. So if you look at it that way, it's kind of like some of these kids who their first introduction maybe is Star Wars Rebels.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Like, that way... And the Game Informer podcast, like 2 years ago, they were talking about Rebels coming out, and he's like, my nephew, like his favorite character of any Star Wars character is Ahsoka. Right. It's like crazy to think, you know?
Yeah, that makes me feel old. I've never really felt old in my life because, I mean, I'm only like 23, but that makes me feel old.
I'd love to see Ahsoka come live action. I'd love to see her. Like,
that would be really
Rogue
cool.
One
yeah.
Although there's not going to be any Jedi in Rogue One except for Vader, I guess. So.
She'd be
I'd just love to
for
see.
A standalone movie or something
oh, yeah.
Like that in a few years, I think.
Well, yeah, I think everyone has a jump on point. I think is the more you go into it, the more you get into all the parts of it. I just think, unfortunately, the prequels just don't. They should have been, but they just don't hold up as much story wise. That's where they fall down.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, besides Episode One, some of the CGI is not that great, you know. But everything else, it looks they're all stunning looking. You just go like, "Wow, my God!" I mean, this is like I said, three is so awesome. There's just so much. It's a visual feast, you know. So
I always felt like execution was the problem more so than anything else with these, and it may have just been that George Lucas had a little too much power with it.
He just needed a partner on the script, someone to tell him.
I wish
no.
Spielberg would have like jumped on and been like, you know, you could do better than that, or this doesn't make sense, or,
yeah,
you know, like just somebody to fill in little holes or something like that.
Yeah, because
you know?
I mean, like it's just, I mean. I don't know why he just wanted to take it all upon himself again because, I mean, he, like, was so livid and hated filmmaking after Episode 4 because it was so much work and so much pressure, like, grayed him out, like, his hair and everything. It messed him up. Like, it was so stressful putting out Episode 4, which is why he did not direct 5 and 6.
Yeah.
Like, he should have had the same role in 5 and 6 as with the prequels. It's like,
and Irv Kirshner did a really great job with 5. I mean,
yeah,
it's... That's, like, my favorite.
Yeah, after he got bought out, he had an interview on Charlie Rose, and they real in-depth, like an hour or 45 minutes, and he talked. And he was talking about how he's going to do smaller movies and stuff like that, like kind of like Woody Allen-esque and stuff like that. And like,
what has he done?
But he hasn't done anything.
Other than Red Tails.
Yeah, and that would happen before that.
There was, like, a really crappy, like, animated movie that he made, and it was horrible.
Oh, Twice Upon a Time?
Something like that.
I saw that in theaters.
It had like fairies.
Yeah.
And
it's, oh, yeah. I heard. Yeah. Horrible. His name was like associated with
it. Wait,
that.
Was no. this like long, 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 long time ago?
No, it was like a couple years ago.
Like 3 or 4 years ago.
No,
yeah.
He did another one. This is when I was very young. It's called Twice Upon the Time. It is tripped out.
Really?
It does. I don't even think you're going to get it anymore.
Ewok Adventures?
No, it is. It's so weird. I think he was producer on it or something. I don't know if he directed it, but it is real. If you ever find it, it's so bizarre.
Yeah.
It's like it's literally like it's trippy.
Huh.
But I like why isn't he out there doing that? If that's what he's, I mean, he's freed up. He doesn't have to do that. I mean, he technically doesn't have to do anything. He's rich.
Yeah.
Or why doesn't he make something like American Graffiti or something like that?
Like, and that's why I'm pointing. It's like he doesn't have to do any. Don't even do sci-fi.
Well,
again.
I think I saw it was the Red Letter Media for Episode 7, the video he did for Episode 7. He found a clip of like George Lucas talking to some guy on some kind of like Hollywood event, and like. And he was interviewing George Lucas, and George Lucas was like, yeah, I want to make smaller movies, like, for myself. And the guy pulls the microphone back, and he, like, ha! He, like, laughs this really funny laugh. And Red Letter Media guy pauses it, and then I think he writes above it, like, porn.
He's going to make smut films.
Smaller, more intimate films just for myself. Like, which is why he went, like porn.
Right.
I think it was that video. It's somewhere on the internet where someone pauses it. It's just the way the guy laughs. And then the Red Letter guy pauses it and like puts like light porn above it. Or I can't remember what video it was, but it was funny.
But that's what he was saying. I just like maybe he's gonna just do it. Just you know, keep his own. You know, it's literally just for himself.
Just for himself. But so like after he dies, maybe there'll be a George Lucas vault of films that he made,
like Prince, where it's just like millions of movies that he made by himself.
He made like all these,
starring
himself.
Yeah. That would be awesome.
He's dressed up like Natalie Portman's role,
and he's got someone touching his back. Yes, please.
He's just green screened himself touching his own back.
Oh my god, he's got all the technology.
Wearing a blue bobsledding action. All about a cane too.
Doing romance scenes where he's like singing reverse scene, but it's him, but like with makeup on in one scene and not, but he's still got the big beard.
That would be so amazing.
I guess
I cannot.
Rogue One.
I really want to see what his private vault.
I don't.
I know.
The horror fest.
I would never sleep again.
We'll get Arnold Schwarzenegger to commentate it.
What the hell is this? This is freaked out, man. I
got to bring Arnold Schwarzenegger back. I'll be back.
Yeah. I but it is kind of disappointing because there's a lot of, like, back in the day, I mean, going back to, like, New Hope and stuff like that, he was, like, tied in with, like, Coppola and Spielberg and, I mean, all, like, the big directors. Like, yeah. He was, like, part of, like, the gang of, like, the big directors and, like...
The director mafia.
And he did, you know, obviously he did great with Star Wars, but then he just kind of, like, stalled. Like, what happened to him? Like, what? Like, why did he? Did he just get tied up in the business aspect and just stop creating? I mean, I don't know.
It felt very much that the prequels derailed him completely in terms of respectability.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a shame.
Yeah,
in a way, even though there is a lot to complain about, I guess.
Well, it's just interesting. Like, you know, I get in arguments over the Jar Jar stuff with people at work. And I cite things that we've talked about here on the show and things that are in – that George Lucas himself has said. Like, he just has so much on his mind other than making a good movie. Like, during The Phantom Menace, he was talking about Titanic and how Titanic beat Star Wars. And so he's got this, like – this thing on his shoulders where he's like, I've got to beat Titanic. He's just tunnel vision where he's looking at, I need to beat Titanic as far as money goes. So I've got to throw everything I can at it so it can make money without thinking about, you know, story is important. But yeah, please don't forget that when you're making movies.
It's kind of like needs Samsung, a story. Samsung versus iPhone, where Samsung's trying to push beat iPhone and then it product. Literally blows up in their face.
Literally, yes. Oh, yeah. That's awesome. That's a good one. I think they got shipped to Alderaan.
Yeah. That's why there was such a big explosion. Like in Rogue One.
The Death Star just set them all off.
Yeah, it's a weapons test. It's actually all the buried Samsung phones going
off. They just call all the Samsung phones at the same time.
That's great. Man. That's great.
Darth Vader? Yeah. What? The laser misfired. How'd the planet blow up? There was enough latent radiation to set off the Samsung phones.
We called them.
It still worked.
We called their factory and it just we were warning them we're testing the weapon.
You know, but it is one of those things that, like, you push so hard on. I don't know if you've ever been in some kind of, like, creative endeavor where you're just pushing so hard at something and you lose sight of what it actually the reasons why you do things.
Oh yeah.
Oh, I mean that's exactly I think his reasons he's got to be Titanic. I think that's the only reason he's to do the prequels.
It's obviously an ego thing. You know, he wants to be like the best of, you know, and it's like, why not just create like
been 20 years out of practice.
But why not create an amazing story and what you're good at. I don't know. It just seems weird to me that he just kind of just
definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, I remember in school like this one specific moment, now that we're actually, like, talking about it, I had, like, an epiphany. Like, oh, wow. We were doing a project. I went to school for graphic design. So, like, there was a bunch of kids in my class that were, like, super good. And our teachers would always tell us, like, oh, yeah, listen, this isn't, like, class, like, high school. This is – you're competing against all your other students that you're learning with. So I was always like, oh, yeah, I need to do, like, better than these people.
And someone started whistling the Hunger Games little whistle. Yeah.
And we all jumped into like the giant cornucopia that had like arrows and stuff in it. Yeah. But raised their hands. Like,
you can't be better than me if you're dead.
But we would always like work on stuff together. And but that thing that was always in the back of my mind, like you're competing against people.
Sure.
And I remember one specific project, like I thought I was doing like really good, but in the back of my mind, I was like, "Yeah, you need to like beat all these other people." And then when we did like our critique, the professor is like, "Yeah, you have all these fundamental things that are wrong. Like, go back and fix all this stuff because like I was just too focused on like beating everybody else."
Yeah, yeah, you're just
so I think it's something like that.
You're putting racing stripes on it, instead of flames, and you like didn't need all that.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's a box.
It has weird like sound effects. Yeah.
But it's a box. It's not drawn right.
You're
exactly.
Only making a chocolate box, Trevor. I don't know why it's like a full.
Why is there wheels on it?
Yeah. But I mean, it's like sometimes you get so. And the other side of it is, and I always,
I always go into music, but like I always think of like bands that break up that were amazing and then they go off on
like
their
Creed?
Own thing. No.
Linkin Park?
Anyways.
I'm throwing out bands that I know are terrible that have broken up just because.
But yeah, but no, but it's like, but then their
Limp Bizkit
solo work is not as good and you wonder why. You know, and it's like, what? There's got to be something, but they were, just didn't have each other to bounce that off of, that, you know, that energy or that criticism. Like, you know, you guys are putting something together, and you're like, you know, that just didn't work right. Why don't we go and redo it where there's nobody to say, and especially when you have a success level, too. Like, I always look at Paul McCartney. You know, John Lennon got shot, so he got nobody to tell him, like, that song sucks.
Yeah.
You know, like, don't write that song or revise that song or something like that.
Or so. Here, let me fix that for you.
Yeah, or whatever, you know, but that kind of idea. So, I don't know. It's like, I think you always need to surround yourself with people who are a little bit critical or have a few.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Checks and balances, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I think in anything in life, you know, have some people who aren't just.
Yes, men.
Yeah, tell you anything.
You need things other than yes, men in your life to make things work.
Right.
Any closing comments on the last of the George Lucas Star Wars movies?
There was one other scene that was cut that could have been really cool.
Oh, yeah?
It showed the beginning of the Rebel Alliance. It had Bail Organa, Mon Mothma, and Padme talking about...
Oh, yeah. That's actually a deleted scene on the DVD you can watch.
Yes.
Oh, that's good. Yeah.
Kind of when Natalie Portman. When Padme talks to Anakin about being on the wrong side,
mm-hmm.
or questioning it. That scene was supposed to actually be her with them, and they're questioning, like, what are we fighting for at this point?
Yeah.
Right. I kind of think that would have been awesome.
But should have asked it, like, years ago.
Yes. The girl that played Mon Mothma.
Same one in Rogue One.
Wow.
So
she kind of gets her.
That's awesome.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Wow. I guess you'll have to pull up the deleted scene.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
There's some deleted scenes. They have one early that Shaak Ti dies.
Oh, that's so...
Yeah.
I hate that. Like,
that's
don't kill Shaak Ti.
Yeah, I'm not Shaak. Yeah, so... Overall, I like the movie. I know, like you said, it was your favorite of the...
Prequels.
The prequels.
Yeah.
For me, it's just slightly below episode two.
Talking about deleted scenes, like watching the commentary with all the special effects people, they're like, yeah, the chase scene with the lizard and Grievous on the circle bike. They said that was like they had an hour long cut of that chase scene. What are you doing?
An hour long? That's crazy.
Yeah, like they had several scenes in the movie that were just action scenes, but they had hour long cuts of these scenes. I'm like, what are you doing? Like, why would you work on a scene that's an hour long? That can't be an hour long in the movie.
Yeah, it cannot be an hour long in the movie.
It's crazy. Why?
Yes, exactly.
It's just like. There's a couple. I think the opening fight scene was also a lot longer originally too. You said you wanted the opening scene to be.
That's
like, kind of
cool. I would like to see that.
I wouldn't have mind an hour of dog fighting. I could have done without buzz droids in that hour, but but no, I hate the buzz droids.
Yeah, it's so weird.
I'll find you a buzz droid Pez dispenser.
No,
like 10 of them.
No,
buzz droid.
I'll put them in a blender. Will it blend?
How about in you guys with the Geekiverse, anything that you guys want to, are you working on that you guys want to bring out to our audience?
Yeah.
We just last night recorded our Rogue One preview episode of our Star Wars podcast, Walking Carpet.
Mm-hmm.
So that will possibly be up by the time you're hearing this. We've got another part to that next week where Jeff Beta from the Geekiverse, he and I read the prequel novel to Rogue One, so we're going to do a little bit of a spoiler cast on that and go in depth on that. Lots going on, obviously, for us with Rogue One this
month,
so we'll have a lot of Rogue One coverage.
Right.
But you can check it out at thegeekiverse.com and then on our YouTube. We are youtube.com/thegeekiverse, and you can also search that on iTunes and SoundCloud.
Right. Yeah.
Excellent. And hopefully we'll be doing Rogue One with all of us and the Artful Gremlins, hopefully next time.
Yes, round table. So we're seeing the movie.
We got the tickets to the same theater. We're sitting right next to you and your wife. I'm going to make you uncomfortable. It'll be fine.
It's going to be great.
In that back corner, it's like you can make out it's fine. We won't tell.
Oh, I'll buy the popcorn, Dave, and I'll have the little hole at the bottom of the popcorn.
Oh, that's
the Dave Chappelle moments in game history or whatever it's called. Like, yeah.
That's not a stick of butter.
But it might get wet.
Ruin's like, I hope I'm not in the same theater as these.
Oh. Oh, we're not telling you which one we're going to, so you'll be surprised if there's weird moaning from the back right corner of the.
The movie, cut it out.
The movie's so good.
Oh, it's awesome.
Oh, man.
It's not Vader breathing.
That'd be awesome.
That's not a Bantha. That's.
Oh,
geez.
Oh my god.
They made Star Wars a dirty thing.
There's Minox up there. I've got a bad feeling about this.
They're chewing on the power cable.
Oh no.
Oh, that's a rough experience. I'd be like, cut it out.
Yeah, you can doctor, shave it, and tape it.
Oh my god. Oh. We're gonna have fun.
It'll be
Rogue One after dark.
Rogue One. It will be after dark. It gets dark early nowadays.
We're coming right to the studio afterwards to actually have a discussion, so I am excited about that.
Yeah.
That'll be fun.
Cannot wait.
It'll be great. Sweet.
Well, all our music was provided by Warp 11. You can find them at warp11.com or Warp 11 on Twitter. You can find us on Twitter at Synthaholic Duo, me personally at David_J_Duncan.
I'm at Blackbird2004. Josiah.
I'm at Josiah D. Leroy.
I'm at Trevor_White_.
And for all my insights, you can find me at Leroy.
Opens and closes.
Yes. Because she spoke so much during this episode, I hope you guys were able to glean some great knowledge from
her. She found the pet dispenser. That's all that's matters. So.
Yeah. She found the Django video last time.
Yeah.
She got the pet dispenser. Forgot about
She's
that.
She's an invaluable part to the show. So.
Absolutely.
Jim from research.
Jim from research.
Jim, we need some research.
What do you want to research? Anything. Just find it.
Just find
we
it
need
now.
The research.
Oh, man.
We can build it better.
Yeah, and then go on to iTunes and rate and review us if you have a chance. Tell us what you think of us. Give us lots of stars. And tell any friends.
Tell them about us because we need to grow the show. We need numbers. We need more people to listen to the show because the more people to listen, the better it is for everybody.
That's right.
That way you can have someone to talk to about, hey, did you see this episode of the Holics? And if they say no, what are you going to talk to them about?
Yeah.
The weather?
No.
Come on. It's got to be something better than
sports. No.
What? Sports? The sports are boring. We got Synthaholics to talk about.
Right, right.
They do crazy things. And if you like the stuff, if you like what you hear, and if you have questions or you totally disagree with anything we say, we want to hear about it. You can email us at Synthaholics@yahoo.com and join our Facebook group, facebook.com/groups/Synthaholics. And if you think we're worth giving a dollar to, we've got a Patreon, patreon.com/Synthaholics.
Throw some money.
Money!
Go support folks. I like to listen to Synthaholics sitting next to a fireplace in my robe with wine.
Wow.
Wine, yeah.
That's one way you could experience it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just,
smelling it.
Taking that Cynthia goodness.
The lights are turned down like Natalie Portman in episode 2.
I imagine myself like in the scene in Attack of the Clones where she's got that, you know.
The sultry dominatrix outfit on? Yeah, right. Exactly.
The fire, and that, you know, it's basically by myself.
Do you and your wife reenact that scene, or?
No. I've tried. She said no. I'm still working on it.
Well, you just gotta buy her the dress and trick her into like a cold winter. I'm gonna build a fire.
My Canadian force accent. That's right.
Oh. Guy Davis, who's not here with us because we have no internet here, he can find him at GS Davis Art. And he also has a Patreon. He's an artist for a living, so you can support him at patreon.com/GS Davis Art.
Yeah, he's great.
He's fantastic. He's great, great insights when we have him on. And he does his own podcast, the Rocky Mountain Geek Tank. So,
Rocky Horror Geek Tank.
the Rocky Horror Mountain Geek Tank.
I'm just a sweet transvestite.
poor guy. He doesn't even know that yet.
You will. He will.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening. May the Schwartz be force with you.
Ah.
And we'll bullshit our pants. You're the best drinking friend I ever had.
Shall we test?
Test.
A test. Oh. As you turn your mics up. I don't usually use this on channels.
Yes. Excellent.
Hello.
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 Hey.
Is this Guadalupe? I mean, Consuela?
Si.
She. Consuela, she come to clean. No, no. No.
It'll leave a film. No,
Mr. Superman, no.
No, I clean.
Mr. Superman, no here, no.
What if I give you the money and you go get the pledge?
Oh. No. Have y'all been running with the Scott thing at all?
Damn it!
Oh, forgot about him.
I knew we were forgetting something.
Like his origins were saved, and they are at the end of that episode. they are the outtakes of the episode. After the music stops at the end, it goes into where he came from.
Forget Scott.
Adam, where Aaron was like Geek Scott game.
That was the origin. We did talk about some guy named Steve the other day. Oh, I thought we were still testing.
Oh, God.